so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Welcome into Growing Bolder, where our mission is nothing short of changing the culture of aging. I'm Mark Middleton. On today's show, Lynn Slater, the accidental icon, Jack Eckenroe, the 95-year-old who became the most celebrated athlete in the City of Champions, and a GB Classic as we cue up our interview with the late, great Florence Henderson. You know, at Growing Bolder, we believe that aging is a blessing to be celebrated and not something to be feared or regretted. We believe that it's never too late to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Unfortunately, though, most of us have extremely limiting beliefs when it comes to growing older, and that's a big problem because our belief system controls our behavior and, to a large degree, determines our future. Our challenge is made even more difficult by the fact that we're also battling social norms, the unwritten rules about how we're supposed to act, the conformity police enforcing the laws of age-appropriate behavior. Growing Bolder is about breaking nearly all of the social norms that are related to aging because they've been written by an ageist culture and because there is no such thing as age-appropriate behavior. Growing Bolder is about you doing you. It's about continuing to grow, to evolve, and to reinvent as you age. Welcome to the age of liberation. If not now, when? Which brings us to today's guest. She is the poster girl for reinvention, for fearless exploration into self. Lynn Slater is a cultural influencer, a model, writer, content creator, former professor, and who knows what she's going to be in 10 years. You've likely heard her referred to as the Accidental Icon, which is a blog that she started in 2014 at the age of 61. It led to a sphere of influence that includes over 1 million online followers. She's been profiled and quoted by major publications and news outlets worldwide, and her new book, her personal memoir, is How to Be Old, Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon. We recently spoke to Lynn from her home in New York's Hudson Valley. Lynn, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
You know what? I'm better now. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're really, really busy. And I very much want to get to the lessons that you've learned, the message that you embody so well. But man, we got to set it up by going back maybe more than a decade. You were a professor in Fordham University's Graduate School of Social Service with no connection whatsoever to formal fashion, no thought whatsoever about becoming a global influencer. So how did that get started? What were the seeds of what has become Lynn Slater today?
Well, I think I've always been, since the time I was a small child, a reinventor. And throughout my career as a social worker, I would, because that work can be very intense, that I would, you know, take a break and go outside of social work and take a class in some kind of creative sort of thing that had nothing to do with social work, like improv or creative writing. And I would really use that as a form of self-care. And then somehow it would find its way into my work. So I came upon one of those moments when I turned 60, and I started to take some classes in a fashion school and taking very random things like jewelry fabrication, sewing. And I ended up in this class called Building a Vintage Business. And all of the professors and all of the students, when I was walking around this fashion school, and I was pretty much the oldest person in the room, they would say, "You have really good style. You should start a fashion blog." So I kind of said, "All right, I know how to write." And I just started to do it as just a pleasure project and as a way to find out about an area that I did not know all that much about, which was fashion.
I think there's some profound statements in there. First of all, as you said, you've always been a reinventor. So your willingness to get into something new, your lack of fear in joining a class in which you are the oldest. And obviously the inspiration, the encouragement, the support that you got from the younger students in the class. How important was that? Because I think we all talk about the importance of intergenerational connectivity. Was that critical for you at that stage, Lynn?
Well, it's been critical throughout my life. And so I am the oldest of six. So I have always been with people who are younger than me. As a social worker, I worked with young people. As a professor, I taught young people. So just being around them was not something that I thought about in a purposeful way. And the interesting thing about my story is when I started Accidental Icon, I was not even thinking about my age. It had nothing to do with my age. It was how I had kind of negotiated my whole life when I felt like I needed a change. And so it really was the media that made my project about age. It was not my intention. I was not even really aware I was the oldest person in the room because I was so engaged in learning something new. And so, you know, I never talked about age when I first started. I didn't write about age. And the media started to write about me and they said, oh, look at her. She's involved in fashion and she's 62. Oh, look at her. She's good at social media. Oh, surprise. She's 64. So they really made it about my age. It was not me making it about my age.
You know, it is unfortunate, and I have to plead guilty because, you know, I'm one who longs for a culture in which age is no longer a relevant descriptor of anything. I agree with you 100%, but you've got to know, Lynn, that, you know, when you write a book with the title that you have, it's almost impossible to introduce you and not say your age in the first sentence. I'm guessing you've come to grips with that.
In the book, I talk about it that, you know, if you look at the dictionary definition of the word old, it's someone who's lived a long time. That's a very neutral statement. Society puts all its stuff on that. I feel privileged to be alive and healthy at 70 years old. And so I decided to take that word old and kind of just reclaim it as part of my narrative in a way that I want to keep saying it until it gets drained of all of the negative connotations that society has put on it.
Well, as we would say back in the day, right on, Lynn Slater. All right, back to the blog. You start a blog, you start an Instagram, it's 2014. Not exactly setting the fashion world on fire yet, but there is a serendipitous happening at the Lincoln Center that really kind of ignited some things for you. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, that's a falsehood.
Uh-oh.
That, again, that the media perpetrated, that was what launched me into stardom. That was actually very shortly. It was like a week after I had published my first blog post, and I was meeting a friend for lunch at Lincoln Center, which was very close to the campus of Fordham where I taught. And I was wearing a Yohji Yamamoto suit, and a group of photographers and some journalists sort of came over and started taking my photo. So when my friend came up and saw it, she was joking and, you know, she was saying, aha, the Accidental Icon strikes again. But it really wasn't until 2017 that I became sort of on the radar, the cultural radar. And there were a couple of posts that went viral. I was just having fun. And I went on this casting call and it turned out to be for a Valentino eyewear ad. They basically said, well, if we, you know, use your picture, we'll pay you $1,000 and You know, the photographer was Terry Richardson. And a couple months later, my phone started blowing up and my friends were sending me photos of I was in a full page ad for Valentino eyewear in every major fashion magazine in the world. That brought me to the attention of a modeling agent from Elite Models London, who I then signed with. And that is actually in 2017, not 2014, when I sort of blew up, so to speak.
Fair to say, Lynn, that you are a rebel of sorts because, and again, I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you were one of the first influencers to flaunt gray hair and really not just to embrace, but to celebrate aging. You've always projected this image of self-acceptance as opposed to, you know, shame over the obvious signs of aging. Have you always been a rebel? And what do you rebel against mostly these days?
Well, yes, I've always been a rebel. My friends call me the good bad girl. And, you know, anytime that I am being told how I have to be, or I'm being put in a box or stereotyped or categorized in any way that does not feel authentic to me, I will push back against that. And I think that's exactly what I did at sort of the later part of my book, when I felt like my narrative, which was about me being a writer and a creator and a blogger, and again, just being a woman interested in fashion, sort of my narrative kind of got hijacked as, oh, this is the poster girl for how we should all be aging right now. And that was not my story. Because as I said, I was not, when I started this, I was not thinking about my age. And, you know, like you, I believe that age is like anything else, it's socially constructed. And the way that I like to think about life is every single year and decade of my life, I have had opportunities, I have had challenges, I have had losses, I have had sickness, I have had health, and I have had to figure out how do I respond to those things so I can move forward. To me, this part of my life is exactly the same. It's opportunities, it's challenges, it's sickness, it's health, it's loss. And the difference now is that I have this massive toolbox of experience, skills, memories, successes that I have accumulated over my lifetime. When I was 20, I had a hammer and a nail in my toolbox of problem solving. But now there's not much that throws me that I haven't seen before. So I feel like this time of my life is the same, but different. And it is encompassing all the things that happen to us over our lifetime.
We're talking with Lynn Slater, who has written a fascinating memoir called How to Grow Old. And Lynn, in the book, you talk more than once about risk taking, and you know, certainly not about taking the kind of risk that would risk our health or our well-being, and not just risk in fashion, but in life. I mean, you write more than once that it was taking risk and screwing up that actually led to your adventures and success. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think most of us, as we get older, are certainly reinforced by culture to get on the couch and sit there and think that it's over, that there's no adventures left. But you've pushed back against that.
Yes. I think my generation, I was a teenager and a young woman in the early 70s. And so we were very rebellious. We were challenging authority. We were, you know, trust no one over 30. And so I think that my generation is coming to aging with a very different attitude than our parents or our grandparents. And so I don't think I am alone in not sitting on my couch, because I am in touch with so many, you know, primarily older women who are really saying, oh, finally, this is my time. I can be the painter I always wanted to, or I could, you know, go back to school, or I could just be in my garden and be contributing to my community. And so I think, again, that we are doing a lot of things to reinvent aging that aren't necessarily being represented adequately in the larger cultural framework or social or the media.
Lynn Slater, part of a rapidly growing number of older adults who continue to evolve and reinvent themselves. And together, they're all part of the movement that is reinventing aging. We'll get back to our conversation with Lynn in a moment. And then a little later, you'll be surprised and inspired by the athlete that everyone was talking about at the most recent National Senior Games. And we'll revisit our conversation with the late Florence Henderson, whose six-decade career is best known for her starring role as Carol Brady on The Brady Bunch. You're listening to Growing Bolder. We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live. Let's get back to our conversation with Lynn Slater, who became an online celebrity and a major influencer in her 60s after launching her Accidental Icon blog and Instagram. Unlike many who do achieve success in social media, though, Lynn began to feel trapped. She didn't like being a paid mouthpiece for sponsors. She says she completely lost herself and became unhappy. But the pandemic gave her a chance to reflect, and she decided that hawking products on social media was not what she wanted, and it was time to evolve. It takes courage to move away from something that you're as successful at it as you were. But so let's talk about influence of a different type, the influence that you've had on culture, and specifically the feedback that I'm guessing you have received over the years and continue to get from younger women who fear growing older, who fear invisibility, whose self-image is totally wrapped up in a body that is rapidly changing. What kind of feedback have you gotten from younger women who see the way you live your life?
Well, I think what was interesting was in 2016 was when the Valentino ad came out, and there was an ad with Joan Didion for Celine. And I think that moment was a transgressive moment because it was the first time that a big fashion brand had an advertisement with two older women who were naturally aging. You know, we both had white hair. We both had wrinkles. And I think I was a professor. She was a writer. And a lot of young women at that time were inspired by that because they had this image of sort of two women who were not classically gorgeous with gray hair and wrinkles, but they were women of substance. And so I think they felt, okay, I can still be a woman of substance when I'm old, and that was attractive. And I think over time, you know, like other social movements, society will come back and there is a backlash. And so I think now we have these two, what I think are dangerous polarized views of aging, You know, on one hand, you have this decline narrative that we'll be disabled and we'll have dementia and we'll be dependent and we're a burden on our family and a burden on society and wrecking it for all the generations behind us. But now you have this other older person who appears ageless, who is exceptionally fit, running marathons at 80, highly resourced, very hot, and who is completely independent and needs nothing. And I think we've taken the positive view of aging too far. I think we had to be very positive because there was so much negativity. But I think those two polls reflect maybe 3% of the aging population on either end. And the vast majority of us are in the middle. And so where, you know, where have all these great things about aging, but there's things about aging that suck. And, you know, we're trying to live our lives. And I saw something this week in Business Insider where the vast majority of retirees in this country are living on $40,000 a year and less. So those two polls are not adequately reflecting the way we are aging. And, you know, I call it, along with my friend Elizabeth White, who is also someone you should talk to, the hidden middle. And my project now is I want to represent and help tell the stories of that hidden middle.
I love every bit of that. And I totally agree. There has to be a lot of nuance among those who are talking about positivity and aging. And if you haven't paid any attention to the narrative that Growing Bolder tries to espouse, I wish you would. And I'm not saying we do it perfectly every time, but we always talk about the fact that we can't ignore, you know, the reality of our mortality and the fact that no matter what your condition or age is, I do believe we all still have the ability to at least extract moments of joy from our life. And I think that's a message that a lot of people need to hear because our culture would lead us to believe that it is a downhill slide in every way as we get older. Do you agree with that?
I 100% agree. And I think that, you know, like everything else in our society right now, aging has been commodified, right? And you're told if you buy this product, you know, it's going to help you feel better. And if you buy this product, it's going to make you look better. And I love what you said about these moments of joy, because they could be found for free. They don't require resources. You know, they can happen multiple times in the day of a life of an older person. And even us looking at death squarely in the eye. And I had a young woman, you know, who I've been encouraged that younger people are thinking they might want to start breaking through the fear. And she asked me if I thought about dying a lot. And, you know, I was honest about it. I said I would be lying if I said I didn't, because there are times I wake up and I have this sense of foreboding and, you know, that something's coming. But I think more often, facing it makes me absolutely want to cherish and make the most of every single moment that I have in my life right now in a way that perhaps I didn't cherish as much when I was younger.
We've interviewed, Lynn, probably more active centenarians. When I say active, I don't mean running marathons, but you know, they're still enjoying life. Let's let that be the definition of active, than any media organization. And one of them told us that she constantly looks, and she, like you, is a former college professor, and she said that she looks every day for life's little miracles that surround us all, if only we will take the time and develop the ability to stop and listen to them. And thank you for that. I love that. Your book is called How to Grow Old. And the truth is, while there are some broad strokes that apply to everybody. There certainly is no one way, no right way. It is definitely a highly individual trip, but there have to be some broad strokes that do apply to most. What do you think, Lynn, is the biggest key? If someone says, all right, you wrote a book, said How to Grow Old, what's the most important skill that we need to develop?
Well, I think you alluded to it right in your introduction when you said, I mean, probably the only thing that we can control about being old is how we choose to think about it. And I'm sure you've heard of the researcher Becca Levy, who has shown that if you have negative thoughts about being old or getting old as a younger person, that you are impacting your future health. You are going to be at higher risk for cardiovascular problems. You are going to take 7 years off the end of your life. So how you think about it, it's not just that you're going to feel better about yourself because you're thinking about it positively. It's that you're going to impact your physical health as well. So I think that would be the one takeaway, because I am a real proponent that aging is a unique experience. It really has a lot to do with our genetics, our social position, the institutions that we interact with. And again, depending on our social position, can be oppressive or not. And so I think the other phrase I like to use is that aging is a transaction between a mind, a body, and a particular environment.
I love that. So as a woman who does not have a Pollyannish view of aging, as someone that's not afraid to talk about her mortality, as someone that acknowledges the struggles of aging, but yet continues to find new things to inspire her. My final question, Lynn, what do you think about your next 10 or 15 years? What are you optimistic? Are you excited? What do you think about growing older?
I am always excited because I am a person who is always becoming. And, you know, as long as I'm remaining involved in the world, I am learning new things every day. I am always growing. I am always moving forward. And I am always reinventing. And so what that will be will depend on my health and other things that I can't control. But I know that I will always bring my creativity to whatever challenge may come my way. So I'm very open to just kind of plunging in and seeing what happens to me. And I'm taking that same approach to getting older.
Well, congratulations on your book, and thank you for your immense contribution to changing the culture of aging for all. And if it's okay, allow me to close by reading four sentences from the epilogue of your book. You know, four sentences that you did mention a little bit early on, but I think we all should try to embrace when we're thinking about and understanding the years ahead. And this is what Lynn writes in the epilogue. The next decade stretches before me like a new blank notebook, waiting to be filled with classes to be taken, essays to be written, mistakes to be made, and serendipitous occasions. There will be losses and gains, good times and bad. I will probably lose my way and find it again. I feel that little sliver of excitement that comes with asking myself, what now? Lynn Slater, I love that. And folks, believe me, you don't have to be a woman and you don't have to know or care anything about fashion to not only be inspired by her book, but to be transformed by it. It's called How to Be Old: Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon. It will change the way you think about age. It will help you in your ability to extract the most joy out of every moment. And of course, her Instagram is Icon Accidental. Our thanks once again to Lynn Slater. Elle Magazine named Lynn's book one of the most anticipated books of 2024, and I got to tell you, folks, it doesn't disappoint. Lynn's passion for learning and expressing herself is what keeps her growing bolder in her 70s. Coming up, we'll find out what keeps Jack Eckenrode growing bolder in his 90s.
Sign up for the Growing Boulder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingboulder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Boulder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingboulder.com/podcasts.
When we covered the recent National Senior Games in Pittsburgh, perhaps the most celebrated athlete at the Games was not one of the world champions or former Olympians. It was a little-known local Pittsburgh resident who was having the time of his life and inspiring everyone around him, including his 12 children, 41 grandchildren, and 61 great-grandchildren.
He's going to cross the line right now. Here he comes.
What do you hope to be doing at 95? Well, you can forget about being the oldest person ever to cycle a 20K race at the National Senior Games, because Jack Eckenrode just did it. How big a deal is that?
It means everything to me.
Growing Boulder was there as Eckenrode raised the bar as to what's possible as we age.
When I got up out of bed this morning, I said to myself, I better make it, because there's going to be too many eyes on me all day.
Well, he was right about that. With the games taking place in his hometown of Pittsburgh, Eckenrode has become a celebrity. He was the one given the honor of lighting the cauldron to officially open the games. And everywhere he went, people wanted to say hi, even competitors.
Oh, well, I got to shake your hand.
He's been in the senior games since he was 70s. That's when he started. 70.
Wow, how wonderful is that? You're an inspiration to all of us. But my daughter says you're definitely a hero.
Not only is he one of the oldest participants, he sure has a big following.
Well, I have 12 children, and all of them got married and have kids, so they're all out here, which helps me.
When he says all, it's his 12 kids, 41 grandkids, and 60-something great-grandchildren, all who've had a front-row seat at what life can be when fitness is a part of it.
It makes me want to work out as much as possible to stay fit and have a good life. I think it makes for a happier life, so I enjoy being fit.
He's getting up every day and biking, and he's influencing us all to bike. Like every party that we have at his house, all the kids bring their bikes and we're all just all biking together. And it's just amazing that he's doing it at 95.
Family is everything. Family is everything. And I get support every day, and that's important for me.
What's even more amazing are the challenges he's been able to overcome.
I got a heart attack in January, and it hasn't slowed me down.
He also lost his wife of 67 years, but at the age of 94, he tied the knot again with a woman who wishes he would stop competing.
I'm just so proud of him. I am so proud of him. But this is it. We're not racing no more.
Oh,
and I can't take it.
I already...
I'm afraid he's going to get hurt, and I don't want to lose him.
Is this it? You just told me?
No. Yes, I just told her 2 years we're going...
No more.
We're going out
no
west.
More. I can't take the pressure. Too much pressure. Can't. I don't want to lose you.
It is an interesting debate, because Jack believes being active is why he's still here.
Movement is everything, and it's so important to have your balance. And when you do your calisthenics and march in time, you keep your balance. That's important. You got to keep your legs.
Way to go, Grandpa! Way to go, Susie!
His daughter can see both sides.
I mean, every senior games, you think it might be the last one. Because, I mean, every senior games was such a crazy ride, so much fun. And to have it in Pittsburgh, and then just, he did everything he wanted to do. And he finished, and he got his gold medal. And it's not even about the medals. He just loves the people and the just talking to them. And it's just, the senior games is amazing. That is also a huge part of what has kept him going.
Mr. John Eckenrode from Pennsylvania.
But at 95, Jack Ackenrode is living his best life. Because he's making a difference. He's been delivering Meals on Wheels for over 20 years. He gives blood at the blood bank, over 100 pints. He mows his own yard in the summer and shovels snow in the winter.
He's such an inspiration. He never stops. He inspires so many other people to just keep moving and living and not complaining and just moving on and living their best life.
It's so important, like, especially when it's family like this that, like, is, like, just so together and, like, always there. It's just great to know that they're there. And, like, I do sports for school, and when I see my grandpa show up, it means the world to me.
So, will he show up at the next National Senior Games?
Heck yeah. We'll go. We'll give it one more go.
Now that is Growing Boulder. Jack will be 98 in the next National Senior Games, and I think it's impossible to overestimate the impact of his example on younger people who see a kind, energetic, active, socially engaged, happy man who is actually enjoying his life and helping others in theirs, something we all can aspire to. Well, the age wave is most definitely here. 10,000 Americans are now turning 65 every single day. Our 65 and older population will continue to grow at an unprecedented rate, up 53% by the year 2050, according to the most recent census projections. Florida, by the way, has the nation's largest percentage of adults 65 and older. And as the state's senior population continues to increase, Florida's future is linked to their health and well-being. And that's why primary medical practices like Advent Health's Well 65 Plus are rethinking how they can serve the growing population. We visited several of their practices to meet with their physicians and learn more about their model, which is based upon more access, fewer patients, and longer appointment times.
Hi, guys!
Dr. Joyce Cortez.
I really enjoy going along with my patients for their journey, right? I love the stories they tell me. We have so much to learn from them. So it's a two-way experience for me. I like making sure that they are well cared for, that that they trust me. We do have a relationship. So for me, it's about providing great care for people that I really care about.
The structure of Well 65 Plus practices allows for those relationships to develop. Each doctor has fewer patients than in a traditional primary care setting, and appointment times are longer, enabling longer conversations, giving patients time to ask more questions, and providing quicker access when needed.
The appointments are 30 minutes to an hour. Usually you don't see that in a regular setting. If I need more time, I can bring patients more often. We have a smaller panel size for our patients, so I am happy to be able to do that in this setting. My husband is a pediatrician, so he sees young ones, right, kids. And he sees them, you know, once a year or when they get sick. For me, I see my patients every 3-4 months. I do have the ability to make a difference in their lives, and I do have a real relationship with them, which I really enjoy.
Dr. Heather Vermilia.
We really care. We wear these badges because they tell you that we treat you the way that we treat our loved ones. I have it on mine that I treat my patients the way that I treat my own mother. And I love my mother very much. So one of the things that I think really sets us apart is the fact that everyone here is going to give you their time and their attention and their care and their affection. You will be part of the family. And if we can't figure out something, we will get you to where you need to go. And it's just communication, and it's really just the extra care.
So have you tried to make a doctor's appointment lately? Well, I did, and I was told I could be seen in 3 months. And that's exactly why so many older adults go to the emergency room or urgent care when it's really not necessary. It's why many physicians who book 15-minute appointments end up referring so many patients to a specialist because they just don't have the time to fully understand what the patient's concern is, and their practice doesn't have the staff and the resources to figure it out. With 10,000 adults turning 65 every day, these problems are only going to get worse at most primary care practices, which is why Practices like AdventHealth Well 65 Plus are changing the model of care. More information at AdventHealthWell65Plus.com. Coming up, we dip into the Growing Boulder archives to remember the late, great Florence Henderson. This is Growing Boulder. We've got news. Watch.growingboulder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Boulder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingboulder.com is now live. Welcome back to Growing Boulder, which is pretty much what Florence Henderson did in 1951 when she graduated from high school and immediately moved to New York and enrolled in the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. She went on to become one of the most versatile and beloved actors of her time. I mean, she did it all: Broadway musicals, The Today Show, cooking shows, commercials, nightclubs, and more. But she is best known for her role as the upbeat Carol Brady in the sitcom The Brady Bunch, which ran on ABC from 1969 to 1974 and has been running nonstop in syndication ever since in over 120 countries worldwide. We spoke with Florence Henderson on this program back in 2013. Do you ever get sick of that Brady theme song chasing you around the world?
You know, it's so funny because a friend of mine, a comic, he was doing his show and he said, "I would like to ask all of you in the audience to join me in singing our national anthem." So he started out, you know, "Oh, say, can you see?" And people started, and then they started dropping out because they didn't know the words. And so he said, "Well, let's try this song." And he started with the Brady Bunch theme song. And everybody knew every lyric. So that's our new national anthem.
Man, you know, that is both interesting, amusing, and frightening all at the same time.
I know, isn't it? It's scary.
Are you enjoying your career as much in your late 70s as you actually did back in the 70s?
You know what? I love what I do. I just look forward to the very next challenge. And I love the business, I think, more today than I did back then. And I don't know, I think when you find something in life that you're fairly good at, you love it and you kind of stay with it. And all I ever wanted when I first got in the business was to be in it for a long, long time, to have longevity at a pretty high level. I never thought about being a superstar or any of that. I just wanted to work in a profession that I love so much for a long, long time. And I feel very blessed to have been able to do that.
Well, you sure picked a tough one, though, Florence. We have household names come on this program all the time and talk about how difficult it is to get an audition, to get a show, to get somebody to listen to them, to get a guest spot, because there is such ageism on the air, in Hollywood, in television, and in movies. But you're one of those people that really has done such a great job of carrying the flag that anything is possible in your career. As Mark said, you've never slowed down. Nobody thinks of you as old. What's the secret? How can we be more like that?
Well, I think the secret is flexibility. You know, the business is constantly changing. And, you know, a lot of actors and performers, they become very rigid in what they do. And I've always tried to grow as the business changes and grow with it. And you have to take risks. You have to have a lot of humility. And you have to say yes a lot. And that's how you kind of stay out there. But I really think being flexible, being willing to make changes in how you do things really gives you that extra edge. And you know, have enthusiasm, be positive, say yes. You know, I write out my goals. You know, I write them out longhand. I want this, I want that, and I do it at night before I go to sleep. And it makes a difference.
This may be getting even a little deeper than even we want to go on this conversation, but Mark and I talk all the time about the image of somebody over 50 or 60 as you know, we will bring up the name of Betty White, who we adore, but you know, the show she does kind of perpetuates the stereotype of the old person as the feeble boy, you can say anything and get away with it because they're so old.
Right.
And Florence, you are so anti that. You really are redefining what somebody who's, you know, just about 80 is all about. You're full of life, vibrant. Nobody sees age when they look at Florence Anderson.
You know, that's so funny when you say that number. I go, that's not me. But I often ask an audience, I do a lot of motivational speaking as well, and I go, you know, it's only a number. And if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? Think about that.
It's a great question.
So I never really think about, I go by how I feel, and I feel so much younger than I did some days in my 20s. I think as you get older, you become wiser. I think you learn how to pace yourself. The experience helps you. I think you learn how to rest in action. Many things that you can do that just keep you going, you know, and I think energy begets energy. And by the way, I love the name of your show, because, you know, growing bolder, I think, you know, about growing older.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I no one can help getting older, but none of us have to get old.
Amen.
Florence, do you do anything now? Are you one of those people? Do you work out like a fiend? Do you only eat like raw salmon on Tuesdays? And
no, I do work out with a trainer 3 times a week, and you know, I have stairs in my house. I'm up and down 3 flights of stairs like many times a day. I do try to watch what I eat, but I'm not a fanatic by any means. I recently discovered the Nutribullet, and that is a fantastic thing. I don't know if you have anything like that, a Vegematic or any of those things, but I throw in all kinds of fruit, spinach, kale, cucumbers, apple, strawberries, blueberries, just a little bit of each, and water, and sometimes I add frozen yogurt, whatever is at hand, and that thing in like 2 minutes. Whirls it around, and you've got the best, most nutritious drink. So that's kind of fun to do.
That's great. Hey, Florence, before we run out of time, you know, if people really understood the magic or the alchemy, if you will, that creates a hit TV show, they would all be that way. The Brady Bunch is one of those shows that just keeps getting more and more popular worldwide. Are you surprised by the extent of the interest in this show nearly 40 years later?
I really am. If you had told me in the beginning that 40 years later this show would be bigger than ever, you know, it's never been off the air in this country and like in 122 countries around the world. And I get fan mail from all over the world. In the last year, I've been getting so much from places like Poland and Russia, India. And I think people think it's a new show in these countries. And I don't know, there's something about that little show that gives people hope. And as a matter of fact, in New York, this gentleman told me that his daughter was being very snotty and sassy. She was watching all these cartoons. And then she started, like, being more polite and nicer, and he talked to his wife, and his wife said, oh, I got all the Brady Bunch shows, and she's fallen in love with them. And it changed her behavior.
When asked about the Brady Bunch and why she thought it was so popular, Henderson said, quote, it represents what everyone wants in life, and that is a loving family, unconditional love, a place to make mistakes, to get angry, to be forgiven, to forgive. She passed away unexpectedly in 2016 at the age of 82. But my favorite Florence Henderson quote is this: you have to live the life you love and love the life you live, which pretty much encapsulates the Growing Bolder philosophy. Living the life we love reminds us that we have the power to shape our own lives, to make daily choices that align with our passions and desires. And loving the life we live reminds us to cultivate gratitude, to be thankful for each and every day, no matter how challenging some days might be. because that's Growing Boulder. We'll see you next time.
The Growing Boulder Radio Show is a production of Growing Boulder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Boulder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, flowing high and mighty trapped. Countless fires.